Welcome to another interview, and I have a feeling that today's interview is going to be rather engaging, fun, and extremely motivational, because James Malinchak is one of America's leading keynote speakers and business coaches. USA Today named him the world's premier speaker, trainer, and coach. He's also been featured on ABC's hit show, Secret Millionaire. And now, James, it's a great pleasure to welcome you to the interview.
Hey, thanks for having me. I truly appreciate it.
Well, it's great to have you with us. As I mentioned in the introduction, you're widely regarded as one of the best motivational speakers in the world. Can I start by asking, was that always an ambition?
No, it wasn't actually. I just remember saying, man, but if I can make $2,000 when I was getting out of school, if I can make $2,000 a month, I'll be set for the rest of my life. Yeah, that's it. I'll pay my rent, pay my car insurance. I'm good, right? And I have a friend who is a kind of a celebrity here in the U.S. He's a former pro football player. His name is Joe Theismann, a legendary quarterback for the Washington Redskins. And I went to see him speak back in 1995. I'd never seen a speaker before. And I just loved what he did. Like, he got up there, told stories. He motivated, inspired folks. And we went out to lunch after, and I asked him, not knowingly, very ignorantly, I said, hey, did they pay you to be out here? And he looked at me like, yeah. And I said, well, would they pay you like $50 or something? And he looked at me like I had nine heads. He said, no, they paid me $10,000. This was back in 1995. And I about fell off the chair. I said, well, they paid you $10,000 to do what? He said, to deliver that speech. I mean, Joe's 25,000, 30,000 now. And I was like, what? They paid you to talk for 45 minutes? And Joe is the guy that started explaining the speaking industry and how it's really a business. And I'm the kind of guy, you don't have to hit me in the head with a 2x4 twice. I catch it the first time you hit me, right? I mean, I can help people. I can inspire them. And they will pay me? Oh, my gosh, I'm going to do this. And I did. And my first talk, I did about 80 for free because I didn't know anything about the business side of speaking. And then my first paid talk was $50 and a free dinner. And that's how I got started.
And which did you enjoy the most, the $50 or the free dinner?
Well, I'll take the free dinner because I actually had to drive about 3.5 hours one way. And I emceed an event for about 4 hours, and then I drove 3.5 hours back. So I think I used the $50 up in gas. I think the free dinner when I got there was better.
Well, you're from a small town in Pennsylvania. So how did you go from such humble beginnings to becoming one of the world's most revered authors, speakers, and business coaches?
Well, you know, I think growing up in that small town environment had a lot to do with it. Wonderful, great people. We had about 6,000 people in our town, and we didn't have much. Dad worked in the steel mill on the trains, hauling coal and all kind of scrap metal. And Mom was a lunch mother at the schools, meaning serving lunches to kids going to school. So we didn't have anything. And I think growing up in that environment, well, the blessing I had was I had a cousin who was very successful, who came from that town. And he would always invite me to New York City to live with him. He was a commodity trader on the commodity exchange in New York in these gold, silver, and mercantile pits. And very wealthy guy. And he was the guy that showed me what's possible and that it doesn't matter where you start in life. It matters where you decide to finish and that you can be, do, and have anything you want in life. And something my father taught me that if you can do anything you want in life, if you don't listen to people who tell you you can't do something, you just believe in yourself. And so I think, and this is what I think is so important today for folks, you know, folks are doing certain things. They may want to do a bigger goal or a bigger dream, and they don't think it's possible because they've never been shown the way or had the door cracked open and had some light coming in. And I think that's what my cousin did to me. You know, I saw this whole world. You know, I mean, like this guy had like Rolls Royce and things like that. I mean, I was a steel mill town kid. I didn't even know that was even possible for somebody like me. But because he cracked the door and showed me just a glimmer of light. Now, what I tell people all the time, people will give you a cracked door with a glimmer of light and an opportunity or, you know, some advice. But then you got to get off your ass and do something with it. You know, like I was just fortunate that I followed and did exactly. Here was my rationale. If this man is successful and very wealthy and has tons of, you know, celebrity people that look up to him, maybe I ought to listen to him and do what he says.
Yeah.
And so that's all I did. You know, my part was easy. I just had to execute on the plan or the paths that he already created for himself. I just had to do them for me. I don't want to say it was easy. It was a lot of long hours and things like that, but I didn't have to kind of create it. So I always tell folks, look for somebody who already has what you have. They've already figured it out. And then go up and ask them to mentor you. If you have to pay them to consult or coach with you, do that, because they will not cut your learning curve in half. They'll cut it by 90% because they already figured it out.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people talk about luck as being a key element here. No, I'm not lucky enough or so on. So what would you say, James, about luck? Has it played a part in your success, would you say?
Absolutely not. No. So saying, you know, relying on luck, that's an easy way out. That's like saying, you know, I watched the movie The Secret and the universe is going to give me everything, so I don't actually have to do anything. I'll just sit on my couch and I'll wait for customers to come in, or I'll wait for money to walk in, or I'll wait for the love of my life to, you know, crawl through the window because I'm giving it up to the universe. I mean, come on. Let's get real. If that's what somebody believes, and they believe that it's just luck that gets handed to them, I mean, you're better off waiting for Mo, Larry, or Curly from the Three Stooges to bring you something. You know? No, luck is when preparation meets opportunity, and then you get off your butt and you do something about it. No, I absolutely do not believe it's luck.
I completely agree. So, I mean, in terms of your own business and your own success, James, how hard do you push yourself?
Wow, I love this question. Because I grew up in a steel town, and I watched my father, who was the hardest working man I've ever known in my life. He would get off a day from the mill, and he would, like, you know, put a fence around the yard. That's his day off, right? Or he would get a day off, and he would dig up sewer pipes from the, you know, sanitation from the sewer. Like, he would do some work, like hard manual labor. And I used to believe that hard work is what it takes. And it wasn't until I got out on my own and started being an entrepreneur and thinking things through that I realized something. It's not about working harder. It's about working, and most people say smarter, and I said, that's absolutely incorrect. It is not about working harder. It is not about working smarter. It's about working right. If you do things the right way, you don't have to work hard, because you got things. I'll give you, here's how I learned this. When I was playing high school basketball, there was a playground by my house, and my goal was, boy, if I work hard all day long, all in the summer, for 12 hours a day out there shooting, then I'm going to be a pretty good shooter, and I might get offered a scholarship to university. And so I did that, and I was out there 12, 14 hours. Matter of fact, I even worked really smart. I worked as a busboy. I made some money. I went to the paint store and I bought a paintbrush and a tape measure and some paint. And I painted a 3-point shooting arc out there so I could shoot from far away, because I was thinking, boy, if I get used to this, when it comes time in a few months to be in regular season, I'm going to be ready to go. So I'm working. I used to wear weight vests. I used to do wrist curls, and I'd be out there 12, 14 hours a day. I used to shoot at night. Because my theory was, if I can make the baskets when it's dark, I can make it when the gym lights are on in the game, right? Mm-hmm. So I was working hard. I was working smart, right? Preparing myself, getting my legs strong, all that, my wrist strong. And I couldn't make a shot for about 6 weeks. And finally, one day I got mad. I threw my shirt down. I kicked the ball down the street. And there was a man, Mr. Mason, who would sit on a swing in our little town in his yard, overlooking the basketball court. And he got up from his swing in his yard. He walked over to me and he said, Malinchak, come here. He said, I'll tell you why you're missing your shots. And I said, well, did you play? He said, nope, I never played in my life. I said, did you coach? He said, nope, never coached. And I'm thinking, what in the heck is this guy who never played or never coached going to tell me why I'm missing my basketball shots? So sarcastically, I said, good, Mr. Mason, tell me. He said, well, you're working hard. I'll give you that, kid. You're out here 12, 14 hours a day in the hot sun. And in theory, you're working smart because I see you with the weight vest on and you got the paint and the paintbrush and the line and all that. He said, but son, you're not working right. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm not working right. He says, your elbow is sticking out every time you shoot the ball, and I'm watching you shoot curveball. And there's an old line in basketball, where the elbow goes, the ball flows. And he said, kid, why don't you get your elbow in and shoot the ball the right way, and I'll bet you make your shots. And I did. And I made them. And then I made them further. And it was so easy to make the shots. I didn't have to be. I could go out there for an hour, 90 minutes, shoot the right way, and I was done for the day. I didn't have to work hard 12, 14 hours a day. So it's not about working harder. It's not about working smarter. It's about working right.
And what helps you to now stay focused, James? Because I guess, you know, you've achieved so much in your career. How do you now stay focused on what you're working on now and what you're working on next?
Well, it has to be very fun for me. I mean, I got to enjoy it. It has to be fun.